Hey everyone, Ken's Wilds here with Wild Child Horsemanship, and welcome back to our podcast. In this week's podcast episode, we're going to be discussing when it's time to accept the ending, like the ending of an era, the ending of a time period, and understanding that sometimes when a door closes, it is important that we leave it shut. So I'm going to start off with a story, just like we do always, but I want you guys to just keep in mind as you proceed that this story is going to discuss a very controversial topic within the equine industry. But I do recommend that before you decide to say anything, whether you're commenting on my podcast or you reach out to me personally, because I know a few people do that when I make some episodes that kind of hit a little close to home. And I really do love hearing from you guys. But before you like jump down my throat about this controversial topic, please listen to the entire podcast episode. So, behavioral euthanasia. There are quite a few people out there who believe that it is not something that should be done, right? That we shouldn't put horses to sleep or euthanize them just because they have some extreme behavioral issues. There's also a lot of those people out there who believe that every single horse can be helped. And to be honest with you guys, I used to be one of those people. I used to believe that every single horse out there could be helped and had a chance at a good life, right? And I've also been a person who, like, I specialize in some of the most aggressive, violent horses in the country. People all throughout the United States would send me their horses. I've had horses from Nevada. I've had horses from Colorado. I've had horses from West Virginia. Like, I've had people from literally all over the U.S. send me the most violent, dangerous horses they could, because they just, I was their last chance for a lot of these horses. So I have specialized in aggressive horses for quite some time. And I did get into a really bad accident, so I haven't really gone back to working with aggressive horses just yet. It might be in the future, it might not. I really cannot guarantee that. It just depends on how the recovery process continues to go for me. But I've come across a lot of aggressive horses, and I've had a really good turnaround rate. I have had most of these horses go from being very aggressive, very violent, like to the point of people wanting to put them down, to actually becoming a wonderful horse within domestication. I've got lots of progress videos throughout my social medias, and so definitely go and check those out. But anyway, and so one example of this that I'm going to put is the horse that damn near killed me. So to those of you who may or may not know, I got into an accident October of 2022, and I had a horse pretty much, he was aggressive. He was a stallion. There was a lot of error on the owner's side. So this horse basically, I was going into his pen. I hadn't even closed the gate behind me, and he came up from behind me, latched onto my head, and then proceeded to flail me around like a rag doll. He fractured my skull, fractured my spine. I was in a wheelchair for quite some time, and I also developed epilepsy because of such severe brain injury. And so anywho, it has been a very long recovery process. And while this happened October of 2022, my life is still, it's never going to be the same. And so this horse, his name was good old Smokey. And I loved this horse, but I feel like I spent way too much time trying to help him and trying to fix him. And this was one of the horses that made me realize that not every horse can be helped. Because again, I used to be one of those people who's like, oh, you know, every single horse can be helped, but sometimes that's not quite the case. And so, you know, after this horse put me in a wheelchair, after this horse completely changed the entire course of my life, I did proceed to continue trying to work with this horse, and it really never ended well for me, because now I was scared shitless of this fucking horse after what he did to me. And then I would try and see if I could have someone else try and work with this horse. And I literally gave this horse every possible option, and I exhausted like everything that I could potentially do for this horse. You know, and again, there was definitely a fear factor playing into it. But the thing that I noticed with Smokey specifically, is that he would just snap. You know, most horses give signs or signals that they're going to explode. Smokey, he didn't do that. He would just, you know, he'd go from 0 to 100 in a matter of seconds with no signs whatsoever. And this reminded me of a horse that I worked with a while back, a few years prior to meeting Smokey, who also had the same issue. And come to find out, that horse had a brain tumor. And so Smokey was displaying a lot of these same signs and a lot of the same signals. And with my life kind of exploding, because again, my accident literally really just changed everything for me. So I made the tough decision to euthanize Smokey due to his behavior. And again, it was not necessarily his fault. I fully believe that there was some sort of neurological condition going on there, not to mention he had been failed by humans time and time again. And for the safety of him, for the safety of myself and others, I felt it was best to euthanize. You know, some people are like, oh, well, you could have sold him. Great. Well, I could have sold him and somebody else could have gotten seriously injured like he did to me. Or this horse would have gotten passed around and he would have become more aggressive and more violent. And horses like Smokey don't do well in the industry because what's going to happen is they're going to go to someone, they're going to try and cowboy him, beat the living shit out of him. Smokey's going to get aggressive, someone's going to get hurt, or he's going to end up on the slaughter truck. And to be honest with you, I'd much rather him have had a very peaceful ending in a nice pretty field than be passed around, ended up in the meat trade, or beat the shit out of by some cowboy who thought he could just ride out his craziness. Especially, again, being that it was very possible that he had a neurological condition and we couldn't really determine that, but for safety purposes we just decided to euthanize. This was not at all a decision that was made lightly. I did put a lot of thought into this on whether I would actually be able to help Smokey overcome his trauma and overcome all of his behavioral issues. So again, this wasn't something I just did overnight. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put Smokey down tomorrow. This took a lot of thought. And, you know, Smokey, he's the horse that he changed a lot for me. Not only did he, you know, take my wonderful healthy life and turn it into a very unhealthy life because, you know, recovering from the injuries that he offered me is not something, it's not small injuries, right? And so it's still taking me a long time, even years later, to recover from what he did to me. And again, I do not blame Smokey one bit. He had been failed by humans time and time again, and it was not Smokey's fault at all. He was just trying to survive in a world that he would never be okay in. And so not only did it completely change the entire course of my life, but then I also stopped training horses professionally. I have been building my career for years and years and years, and I had a really rough year training horses because I had had some pretty gnarly people that they just sucked the joy out of it, and I got really, really burnt out. And then my accident was kind of just the tip of the iceberg. And so after that, I had to accept the fact that I may never return to training horses to the same extent that I was. You know, I may never be able to return to working with these violent, aggressive horses, and every bone in my body wants to, but it's one of those things where I don't know if it's safe for me to do so with my injuries, because all it takes is one bump in the head and that could kill me, not to mention, you know, with my spinal injuries and all the stuff that was caused. I had to accept that that was the end of an era, right? And who knows, maybe that door will open again. I really couldn't tell you. But this entire situation is a very important lesson that some things in life, they end, and they end for a reason. And so many people throughout their lives, they try and hold on to things, right? They try and hold on to an animal that is suffering because they love that animal, and now this animal is just in pain, right? They try to hold on to a relationship that is not doing well or that is very toxic. You know, they've been with this individual for years, and maybe now this individual has a drinking problem that they cannot get under control. People may try to hold on to that relationship. Or another very common one that I have seen time and time again is people trying to hold on to relationships with their families, or hold on to this thought of what their mother or what their father should be. You know, they have this fantasy that, oh, my mother and my father actually care about me, when deep down inside it's kind of obvious they don't, and it's a very toxic relationship there in itself. So a lot of people tend to hold on to situations a lot longer than they honestly should. Now, again, I have been this person who has held on to situations. I was in a very miserable relationship with a friend of mine, and we were living together, and, you know, we had a little bit more benefits to our relationship. We weren't actually dating, but I held on to this relationship way longer than I needed to, and I was fucking miserable. And then he just decided he was going to ditch me one day out of the blue. I have held on to this thought of my family. You know, I come from a very damaged background. I left home at a very early age, and I kept having this mindset that maybe one day my parents would fucking change, you know, and I've held on to, you know, I've held grudges. I have, you know, I've been a person who has also held on to situations that should have ended a long time ago, but I kind of just drug them out because in my mind, I didn't want to accept the fact that this was coming to an end. And so, you know, I'm fully guilty of that as well. But I think the biggest thing that a lot of people don't do is they don't look at the quality of life. Okay, quality of life is a very big thing. And so this is something that people don't judge nearly as much as they should, right? So let's say you are in a toxic relationship, right? Maybe your husband or your significant other is you know, maybe they're full of lies, or they keep being dishonest to you. Maybe they're even cheating behind your back. You don't know. But you don't want to accept that. You don't want to admit that. Well, what's that quality of life, right? Okay, maybe you can get over this hurdle, but what's your quality of life right then and there? Okay, are you miserable? Are you going to spend the rest of your days miserable? Are you in danger because your significant other is violent, or maybe they don't know how to handle their emotions very well? So, like, what is your quality of life in that situation? And if your quality of life in that situation is not good, well, maybe it's time to let that situation come to an end, or put a pin in what's going on and be like, hey, this is not okay. My quality of life here is not great. What can I do to improve the quality of life? And sometimes this could be sitting down with your partner or really assessing the situation from, if you know, from the outside looking in, look at the bigger picture, see the situation, be like, I can change a few things and maybe that'll improve my quality of life. Okay, so quality of life is a really big thing to consider. It's the exact same thing with horses, right? So going back to Smokey, you know, Smokey is a horse who would likely have never been able to survive in the human world. Okay, he was aggressive, he was violent, he likely had some other issues going on as well. And so with that, his quality of life was not great. Okay, he was going to forever be in domestication because I can't just turn him back out to the wild. He would forever be in domestication, handled by humans that he was terrified of, in a world that he just didn't understand. And so that quality of life for Smokey was not great. Or another thing that I've seen is people whose horses have been severely injured, or horses who are just old, and horses that honestly should be put out of their misery. Every single day they're in pain. Every single day they're struggling and they're suffering. And people just hold on to these horses and continue to prolong their suffering because they don't want to say goodbye. And again, that's not a good quality of life for the horse. There's also the famous saying out there that when one door closes, another one opens. And again, this is something that we need to kind of look at. You know, sometimes a chapter in our life is going to close, right? We may not be able to prolong that chapter. You know, for example, maybe you have this career that you have worked so fucking hard to build, and then all of a sudden something happens and now that career is no longer, you no longer have a career in whatever field or industry that may have been in. And so now you just have that abrupt door closing, right? Now there's two things you can do about that. You can be like, damn, that door closed. Let me try and open it again. You know, we ended that part of my life. I am no longer pursuing that career for whatever reason it is, but let me keep fucking trying, even though you know why it didn't work out. You understand why it didn't work out, and you know that it's not healthy for you to continue pursuing that situation. Or another thing is people who continuously go back to abusive relationships. I just recently had a friend. She spent months and months and months trying to escape this abusive relationship. I helped her get out of that abusive relationship. And then all of a sudden this guy came back and she went right back to it, right? And so, you know, that door shut. We worked our asses off to shut that door, and then she opened it back up. And sometimes these doors are going to shut for a reason. And so when doors like this shut, whether that's career-based or relationship-based or whatever else it may be, we need to leave those doors shut, okay? Because once it shuts, you lock it up, you put a fucking padlock on it, and you don't even touch it again, okay? You know, it's one thing to think about it, and it's one thing to try and heal from whatever happened behind that door. But once that door shuts, leave it shut and let that next door open for you and for your life, right? You know, because there's always something else around the corner, and it is your job right now in this moment to kind of determine what is around the corner, okay? Everyone has dreams and goals and ambitions, right? And so we have options to try and pursue those dreams and those goals, or we can kind of just let them fade away. We can even end up having those dreams and those goals behind a shut door as well. And so we, you know, in this moment, we can determine the rest of our life. Every choice we make, every decision we make is going to impact what happens from here on out. You know, we could decide right now that you want to go rob a bank because you are so fucking poor and then end up behind bars for a very long time. Or right now you could decide, you know what, I am really poor, I'm really broke, I'm not doing great financially. How else can I start making some money, maybe pick up some side jobs, start shoveling snow, stuff like that, right? So every decision we make is going to impact the rest of our life. And so when one door closes, another one is definitely going to open. We get to decide which doors are going to open, or how we're going to necessarily work towards opening a certain door that we want, right? Because maybe, you know, we want to pursue a certain career. You know, maybe we want to do a corporate level at a job or some shit, right? We can, you know, say that right now in this moment, we don't have that door. That door is not in front of us. We cannot just open this door and get exactly what we want. And so within that moment, we can start thinking, well, what are some ways that I can work towards making that door available to me, right? You know, but take what you have in front of you as well. You know, let's say, you know, for example, housing. Let's say you're trying to buy a house and you have this really cool house, you open escrow, something happens, and now you no longer have the option to that house, right? That door is shut. That door has closed. And so now you have to start looking for another house, and you might see another door opens and you're like, oh, well, look at this house. And, you know, you try and start pursuing that, but then you realize that that one's not really going to work either. And, you know, so then you're kind of just going through all of these random ass doors, and doors were opening and closing. And then maybe you start to realize, you know, I don't even want to be in this state anymore. And so then you just decide, well, maybe I'm going to start looking for a house out of state. And they're right, you know, that right there is another door that is opening. And so, you know, it's important to recognize that there are going to be doors in front of us that we kind of just have to walk through in order to make it to the next step or make it to the next adventure in our life. And so we have to walk through those doors, but it's important to always kind of have not necessarily like an end goal, because at the end of the day, all we have going for us is death, but have some sort of goal that we want to work towards, because we can eventually make certain doors open to achieve those goals. We just have to kind of know somewhat a general idea of what we want to do with our lives. There's also a lot of emotions that come with endings. And as I have said time and time again, that emotions are very healthy, right? And so when, you know, one door is closing and when you are reaching the end of an era or the end of a situation, there's going to be emotions, okay? You're going to grieve a life that once was, or a life that, you know, could have been, should have been, whatever. You know, you're going to grieve. You might be very depressed. You might be upset. You might be fucking furious. Like, there's going to be so many emotions that come with the ending of something. It's something I think a while back I made an episode about bittersweet goodbyes. You know, sometimes when things end, it's sad. You can see a silver lining in it, though. Like, you know, it's sad, it's frustrating, it's upsetting, but you also understand that there's better things to come, or you see that what happened for a reason, and there's a reason why you are moving on in your life. And so when these emotions arise, it's important we know how to manage these emotions, and that can be a whole other adventure in itself. Is a whole other episode for a whole other time. And managing your emotions when things are ending is going to be the first step in actually accepting when something has come to an end. You know, if we're going to sit in denial and try and open up these doors that were shut for a reason, you know, if we're going to sit there and try not to accept these endings, it's only going to make things worse. Sometimes letting go, or sometimes holding on, does more damage than letting go. There was a picture flying around Facebook a while back of this person holding a rope, and this rope was wrapped around their arm and it was cutting into them. And the second they let go of that rope, they were no longer in that pain, right? And so sometimes we have to let go of things and situations and even just people in order to heal, right? In order to make the next step. And so we have to at some point learn how to let go of things when they come to an end. We have to let go when we realize, like, hey, this door is shut. You know, that's an end of my life. That's an end of an era. That's in the past now. I need to let go and move on so that I can start achieving something greater, something different, something better. The other thing to keep in mind is that sometimes the ending of something, there's no good reason. Okay. A lot of people tend to say, oh, well, there's a reason for everything, or, oh, well, this happened for a reason. You just have to like figure it out. People try and fucking play stuff off all the time as something not serious, or like, oh, well, you know, just find the silver lining. And don't get me wrong, you can find the silver lining in just about anything. But to be honest with you, sometimes when things end, it just sucks. It hurts. It's frustrating. It's painful. It's traumatic. You know, there isn't always a lesson to be learned in an ending. There's not always a lesson to be learned in a situation. Sometimes we just have to accept that that situation was fucked up, start healing from that situation, and work on just changing how things go from that point forward. Okay. There's not always a lesson to be learned. You know, when doors close, yes, we can look at the silver lining and be like, you know, this was really bad, but I learned this, or I learned that. Sometimes we just need to accept the fact that it hurts and that it wasn't okay in the first place. But what's important is that we accept that and we move on. You know, we don't want to remain in denial forever. We don't always want to sit there and dwell on what happened and be like, oh, well, where's the lesson in this? Where's the silver lining in this? Because sometimes there isn't a lesson in what goes on. It's just is what it is, and you need to move on, let go, because if you don't, it's only going to cause you more harm than good. to kind of just summarize this episode, endings are never an easy thing, but we need to learn to accept those endings, right? We need to learn to understand when something is done, when something is over, and go from there, right? We need to start weighing quality of life in situations. If, you know, you're able to make something work and make some changes to make your quality of life a little bit better, then do it. If not, it's okay to shut a door in your life, move on to something better. And at the end of the day too, when that door shuts, leave it fucking shut, because chances are it's shut for a reason. And so don't keep dwelling on it. Don't keep thinking, oh, well, what can I learn from this or what happened? If that door shuts, leave it shut and start working towards what other doors might be available to you as well. So I hope you guys all enjoyed this podcast episode, and please, please, please reach out to me. I've had a few messages regarding podcast episodes of things that you guys like, of things that you can relate to. So if you guys want to just message me with some of that stuff, I'll be more than happy to read them. I really love doing it. And if you have anything that you want me to maybe address in this podcast, please let me know, because it is solely here for the purpose of educating you guys, teaching you guys, and sharing the many life lessons that horses have to teach us. So don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and the many, many other socials that we have. Stay strong, stay true, stay wild, and we'll see y'all next week.